But we'll be taking some time to look at, over the last couple of weeks and the next few weeks, we're going to look at our five desired outcomes for a vision. Our vision in our healthy church, where truth gives birth to worship and fruitful living, we see, these are the pictures we want to see, these are the snapshots, the outcomes. We want people wholly dependent upon God. We want the gospel transforming the lives of those around us. Each person using their God-given gifts. Leaders being raised up for ministry and people being sent in partnership. And so far we have looked at the partnership and prayer. We want to establish partnerships with people who share a common purpose and mission as we do, and to journey with them in that. Although we recognise it may not bring one extra person through that door, no one may come here, we believe that it will bring people into the kingdom of God, which is far more important. With that has come a partnership proposal that I'm sure it's at the back table, it's electronically available, that I be set aside for a focus on church health, both here at Westview, perhaps 1 or 2 days a week, and then with other churches 3 or 4 days per week. Since it's been laid out before the church, there's certainly been some very positive affirmations from members of our church. Concerns about staying connected, me staying connected with you as a community has been expressed, and that's everyone's desire. But I would encourage everyone to have some sort of feedback. During the last week, I went to the Greater West for Christ office, the regional ministry for the Baptist Union, but not limited to Baptist churches. And you might remember Mark Chappell, who spoke at the Blacktown Baptist Church at Josh's induction. He's the regional superintendent of Western Sydney. But he and Peter asked how things were going here at Westview and has anything developed. And I told them about the proposal that we put before you 2 weeks ago. And I was amazed at their faces. They were quite shocked. They told me how over the last few months they've been wanting to ask me to be involved with them specifically on church health. The thing that surprised me, I guess, is for the last couple of weeks, it's only the last 3 weeks that this idea of church health has been really solidly in my mind. So was that God's design? Is that confirmation from God? Well, I guess we all have different ideas about what that might mean. But that's the sort of partnerships we're talking about. Last week, JJ helped us by focusing on people wholly dependent upon God in prayer. He spoke about how essential it is for us to have a personal communion with God. A personal, deep communion with God. Intimate prayer time, which he mentioned was hard work. It is hard work. He spoke from Acts chapter 2, where the early church showed their devotion to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. As they came together, they met regularly. And last week, we said another encouragement to you as a church. We want to set aside another time on a Thursday night where we can come together again for the apostles' teaching, for fellowship, for breaking of bread, and prayer. But we'd like to have a focus on prayer. We're going to focus, make that a time of focus on prayer. We will share a meal together. And we're asking people to make it a priority. Just as you come here on a Sunday, we would love each person to make it a priority to come there on a Thursday. That's going to start on the 11th of August. Today our minds are turning to the outcome where our desire is to see each person using their God-given gifts. We want this because we can't afford to ignore what God has given us for our good. God has given us good things so that we persevere to the end. We can't overlook what God has given us. We should never be so arrogant or proud that somehow we think that one of you is not important to this church. We should not be despise God's gift to us by assuming that you are not important. There are the idea that we can get by on maybe a few personalities, some people who maybe show a measure of ability and just a focus on them, is not a biblical picture. And Sue read for us this letter from Peter who wrote to churches. Now think of this, he was writing to churches in Turkey. Christian churches in Turkey who were about to face terrible persecution. They were experiencing persecution, but they were going to have terrible around the corner. They couldn't see around the corner. But he was preparing them because there was going to be so much difficulty and hardship for them. Peter understood that these were the end times. If the end is near, what would the world say? If the end is near, what would the world say that you do? Go out, indulge yourself, do whatever you want. Eat, drink, and be merry. The end is nigh. But Peter tells them, verse 7 might be up on the screen. Take a look at this. Look at verse 7. What's the Christian response? To be self-controlled, sober-minded, for the sake of your prayers. The word sober-minded here is the same word that actually Lee read to us the other day when he was talking about the guy with all those demons, the legion who was healed. He was later in his right mind. He was later in his sober mind after Jesus healed him. This is what we are to be. In our right mind, sober-minded. So that we can purposefully pray to our God. So that we can intentionally devote ourselves wholly to God in prayer. And Peter is talking about a community here, the community of the people of God. We can be certain about this because verse 8 he says, to love earnestly because love covers a multitude of sin. Last year, I think about a difficult relationship I had. I knew a person, I had dealings with him, and I knew I hurt him because I could not do what he wanted me to do. Have you ever had the situation that you could not do something and they're hurt because of it? Well, soon after, he assured me that things are fine. I've reconciled that. I love you. You're my brother. There's nothing wrong with us. The relationship's good. But then a few weeks later, it comes up again. And it indicates to me that it was not reconciled, that it was more about denying, about covering, about denying than covering with love. You see, love covers sin. It doesn't mean you deny your hurt. There is no good in denying your hurt. There are times when we can give people the benefit of the doubt. We can let their things slide that maybe hurt us. We can do that for love. But if it's an ongoing pain, if it's an ongoing suffering, if it keeps coming up and you cannot get it, the scriptures tell us very clearly what to do. We go to the person, we try to reconcile, we talk it through. If you can't do it one-on-one, you get people to help. Elders of the church will help you mediate between you. We can't just sort of hide things. We've got to relate to each other freely with love. For too long, Christian circles have denied things, and they've said mistakenly it's all for love. And ultimately, Satan can use that to bring us apart, to bring disruption, to bring division. Love, forgiveness, honesty is the environment from which this community will grow. It is the only environment for which we will grow together. And verse 9 talks about hospitality, which, well, I think we Aussies don't do very well as a society. Like, I think you non-Anglos, you come here and you I think you've got a richer heritage of hospitality than us white Anglo guys. But hospitality is something we need to learn together. Part of that is after the service, we're going to have a bit of morning tea. Please stay and enjoy food as we talk to each other. But look at verse 10. Verse 10, which shows us that we each have received a gift, but that gift needs to be used in service for others. A gift needs to be used in service for others. In a very real sense, any gift that God has given is not yours individually. It is ours. He gives it to the church. you may be a steward of that gift. You might be able to turn that gift on and off that this church needs. You may be able to turn it off or divert it somewhere else. But each one of us are stewards of the gift God gives the church. And I think it would be much more healthy for us to think of the gifts to the church, not to the individual. Peter speaks of God's varied grace. If you don't know, it's important to understand that grace and gifts are so closely linked. They're very closely linked. So God has given a variety of gifts. And Peter mentions too, he talks about speaking and serving. But the list goes on in the Bible. I've tried to sort of do a bit of a summary of the gifts that I've seen in the Scriptures. Here's a list of them on the screen. Prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, mercy, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miracles, distinguishing from spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, service, administration, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And there's the passages. Now, we might actually disagree on what they mean, all those things mean, but these are gifts to the church, His church, Christ's church. And in a very real way, we, as the local church, represent that. We will have all these here too. There is no indication that this list is complete. I don't believe that this is the definitive list, that there is no other spiritual gifts. When we look at look on in verse 11, the second half of verse 11, we see why God has given us these gifts, the church, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You notice it says, so that you might feel happy and fulfilled. These gifts aren't given so that you are well qualified or recognized by others. It is so that God will be glorified. If we compare this with our purpose statement, Westview Baptist exists to bring glory to God as a community of faith in Western Sydney. This is our aim. This is our purpose. This is what we're about. We use our gifts to serve one another so that we can bring glory to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So let me just try to define to you what a gift is. We've been talking about gifts. What is a gift we're talking about? And I've got it on the screen, a definition. A God-given gift is anything given by God to enable the church to grow in the way God desires and to persevere to the end. Let me say it again. God-given gift is anything given by God to enable the church to grow in the way God desires and to persevere to the end. Let me show you what I mean. Ephesians chapter 4 shows Jesus leading the God's children into God's kingdom, just like the ancient warrior king would go out to battle, and he'd come back to his capital, and there'd be a huge procession of all the slaves near his court, and a remarkable celebration as they come back, and then a king would actually give out rewards to people. He'd give gifts to people. And here we see in Ephesians 4, it's almost that picture of Jesus who's coming with the people of God to God, and now he gives gifts. Look, Ephesians 4:7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why he says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. So King Jesus is here. He's giving out his gifts to the children of God. Verse 11, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so the body of Christ may be built up. Now, you may have read this like I have once did, but somehow Jesus would have picked out the best and the brightest, and oh, you be an evangelist, or best and brightest, you're faithful, you be a prophet. But I don't think that's the focus here. What the focus here is that he gives these things to his church. They are gifts given to the church, the people of God, so that they might be built up, encouraged, and yes, individuals will be stewards of those gifts, but it will be on behalf of the church they are used. Every gift of God is given to the church to build up, to encourage that church to persevere to the end. 1 Peter says we've all been given a gifts. I want to remind you of James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. We have said it before, I've said it before, and I hope it shocks you, but you understand, don't you, that this means that I am God's gift to this church. Fortunately, I'm not the only gift to this church. You, each individual, doesn't matter how little you are, or how tall you are, or how old you are God's gift to this church. God has given you to this church to bring Him glory and to help us persevere to the end. That doesn't mean you just come through the door, you park it on the seat and that, well, here I am, the gift to the church. Think about what Timothy says, 2 Timothy 1:6. For this reason I remind you to fan in the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of hands. There is an activeness. We seek to develop the gifts of each individual. It's not passive. We are to act upon this truth. We can fan into flames. We can encourage our giftedness to be a positive effect upon the church. And in Romans 12, Paul uses the image of the church being made up of many parts, that all parts are valued and that the parts are important for the well-being of the church and health. But I think I can think of one body part which, quite honestly, we often do without. Has anyone had an appendix taken out here? Hand up. Okay, look at them. Still kicking. That's really good. There's some debate even. I had to look it up. There's some debate about what purpose the appendix does do. Well, we know it does do something, but we can live easily without it. But wouldn't it be awful if someone here thought they were the appendix of our church? Doesn't matter if they're here or not. They have no effect. If they don't turn up, if they don't be a part of our church, then it doesn't really matter. There are no appendixes here, eh? You each and everyone matter. For me, there is something significant in the mind of a person who starts coming to our church, and after a period of time, they're here so regularly that they, if they can't be here, they actually let someone know. Because one of the greatest tragedies is if we expect to see each one here, wouldn't it be terrible if they're not here? That must mean there's something wrong. People had car accidents on the way here. We've had people who have been sick. In my own family, we went up to the hospital one day. Remember that many years ago? We had to dive up to the hospital. Twice actually, but let's not tour there. Okay. You know, that means if someone who is normally here and they're not here, then it actually means something may be wrong. And when someone comes along and starts letting people know, can you say they won't be there because of, I've got to be away for the weekend? That is a gift. That is wonderful because we don't have to worry about that person. It could be an email, it could be a text, a call. They grasp something of the importance of the people of God coming together as the body of God. That's what they've grasped. I just think if a runner turns up for a race without a foot, you know, of course it's a big problem. But even if a singer goes to the stage and doesn't have a foot, sure, they can sing, but they're not whole, are they? They're not free to be who they are meant to be. There are dangers associated with the unbiblical understanding of gifts. Think of the church in Corinth. Their main focus was using and developing their gifts at the expense of others. It was for their own glory. Their pride, their lack of love, made even the best gift that God could give them like a resounding gong. Annoying. You see what they've done? They've taken a wonderful gift that God gives and they make it something that is not worth having. They've made it ugly. They've perverted it. Paul uses the illustration of this gong to show that if we do not have love, if we don't do our gifts in the right way, then we're actually doing more harm than good. Some of you might be thinking, well, what's my gift? Well, I think there's only one way that you can discover your gift and for it to be recognised by the church community. This is the way. I've got it up the front on the screen. You commit your time and effort to loving the people of Westview and seek to serve them in any way that you're able. That's pretty simple, isn't it? You commit your time and effort to loving the people of Westview and seek to serve them in any way that you're able. If you can't do that, you've got nothing to give. If you can't do that, you've got nothing to give. Because it'd be like a resounding gong, that annoying thing. But as you do that, you'll be freer to do that more and more. And people actually say, you do that so well, and you'll actually find that you'll actually want to do it more because it's something you're passionate about. And it's wonderful. We're going through the process of considering if we recognise Tony and Lynn as deacons. They did not ask for that recognition. People just observed them in the way that they were doing their work. They did not ask to serve. They did. They committed their time and effort to loving the people of Westview and have sought to serve them in the way that they are able to. It happened so many times that people started talking behind their back. Have you seen what they've been doing? They appreciated what they did. And here we are, putting them before the church, asking them collectively if we believe they're a gift of God to us as deacons. And so far it's only been positive. But this is how we consider our elders and deacons. But let me tell you, there's other people like Bob Muir this morning and Mari who have come here. These glasses would not be filled today if it wasn't for Bob and Mari. Because Mari comes here early with Bob and sits in the wheelchair, and Janelle comes too, and they sit in the wheelchair. She sits in the wheelchair waiting for Bob while you're maybe getting your last cup of coffee and thinking, oh, we've got to go because we're going to be 10 minutes late. And up until recently, it hasn't been too warm here on a winter's morning. And in many ways, Mari's time in the wheelchair of patient service is a gift to you because that allows Bob to do the communion glasses. And it shows simply their passionate commitment to Westview and the love for you so that you don't have to worry about that. Who here worried about the glasses being filled? There's probably only two people. And if he wasn't there, and if they didn't come, there'd probably be more like a dozen or 20 people worried about it. It's quite clear that gifts start with an attitude. It starts with character. To ignore the attitude and character and just focus on ability will lead any church into bad ways. It will destroy a church. If you have questions about your own giftedness or what you can do, feel free to talk to the elders and the deacons. Don't be too proud to think that your gifts have to be used in your way and only by you. Okay? Don't be too proud to think, well, this is what I do. This is all I'm going to do. Because if you think that way, you've missed the point. The gifts is not yours, it's the church. If you think your gift is being overlooked, I want you to look past your disappointment and make sure that you commit your time and effort to loving the people of Westview and seeking to serve them in any way that you're able. Because it's not about you, it's not about me, it's not about individuals, it's about the body of Christ. It's about giving glory to God our Father and striving to work to present this church, His church, as the beautiful bride at the marriage celebration of the Lamb, where we'll all fall down, we will all worship with every creature, the gifts will no longer be needed, and together we will shout as a vast crowd. Imagine this, a roar of mighty ocean waves and the crash of a loud thunder. Praise the Lord, for the Lord Almighty, the Almighty reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice. Let us give honour to Him, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb. That's where we're going. And His bride has prepared herself. How? Through the gifts that God has given this church. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear, for the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. Let me just pray. Because, Father, I want to thank You for the many good gifts You've given me here today. I'm looking at them, and soon they'll be able to greet each other. I want to thank You for the many gifts that You've given, and the wonderful heritage of the truth that we have from Your Scriptures. Where would we be without Your Scriptures? Lord, I pray, help us grow in our love for You, for Your Word. Help us keep in step with Your Spirit. Help us to truly seek to commit our time and effort, our all that we are, to these people, so that we can be a part of that greater body that goes all around the world, Jesus' church, Jesus' body, His wonderful bride, who will be presented to Him one day at the marriage celebration of the Lamb. Father, we long for that day. May it be today. May it be today that Jesus comes and takes us to be with Him. Until that day, Father, may we seek to serve in love and service to one another. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.